Hey, everybody. Really great show this morning. We talk about everything from Moonbird's oddities to Doodle's ecosystem to some of the action on Solana and all the other, you know, stories of the NFT market right now. It's definitely still a weird part of today's market. We talk about Moonbird's bouncing off 11 ETH and being at 14. We talk about Moonbird's oddities potentially being a really good trade. And we talk about dynamic pricing on Solana and the upcoming Utes collection. Really great show overall. As always, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday. Little technical malfunction. Gotta love it when you do the same thing every single day, but sometimes it just doesn't work. But we roll with it. We keep it moving. This is the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, each and every week, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, where we talk all things NFT market. What is going on in the market right now? Is it a bear market? Yeah, it is. But it's okay because we're still here looking for opportunities, talking about the stories of the space and all the projects that are working, all the projects that are hurting, and everything in between. And if you want to contribute to the conversation, raise your hand, request to speak, come on stage, and share your thoughts on the market. Pretend it's a show on ESPN or CNBC. Just try to get in the mix. Make content for the sake of making content, and you'll probably get some followers out of it. It's pretty cool stuff. Shout out to our sponsor, FTX. All of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your FTX mobile app. If you spend over $200, you get a $20 bonus in the cryptocurrency of your choice. I'm PO here with my co-host, Nifty Nick, Signal, King Kicks, and Easy Eats Bodega. What a squad. King Kicks, the CEO of Crypto Raiders, one of the hottest crypto games out there. Easy Eats Bodega, a rising star in the Solana ecosystem. I wonder if there's going to be some news events surrounding Easy Eats in the coming weeks. And Signal, I mean, look, what more can you say about Signal? She's the best writer in the space. Shout out the Nifty Daily Digest newsletter. Some badass speakers on stage, Spencer Gordon Sand and Quad, of course. So we're excited to get things kicked off. I'm hyped up. It's Friday. I got coffee in me. I'm gonna tone it down a little bit and throw to my co-host, Nifty Nick. What's going on?
Yo, I just wanted to say, you know, the comment I made earlier about smoking weed inside of a pool room, I never was involved in that. I just thought that you were the type of person that would have done that. So for anyone that was here for that, I just want to make that clarification. That never happened. Okay. So I don't want anybody to make any assumptions about me, but it definitely would have been Pia who was doing that. So if you were here earlier, I just want to make that clarification. Secondly, I'm doing pretty well. Thought I was going to die last night going up to the top of the mountain here in Utah, but I'm alive. So that's something that I'm grateful for.
So you went to the top of a mountain?
Went to the top of the mountain.
In the
evening? I held a sword over my head and yelled positive affirmations about myself so that everybody across the land in the kingdom knew that I am one of the leaders of said kingdom, and they just must recognize that as they looked up and saw me holding a sword over my head.
Okay. Well, I like that visual. Like, you're always a great storyteller. You're able to create, a scene. And that's why I love working with you, Nick. You're uber creative.
There were multiple people holding swords. Mine was more lightsaber-ish. There were also real swords that were up there where people were prepared for actual real battle. Unfortunately, I didn't win the fight over for the real sword because I wasn't close enough. Instead, I was closer to a lightsaber, which had sound effects associated with it, which made it feel very authoritative, and people far and wide noticed us with those lightsabers and said, "Wow, look at those men, grown men holding lightsabers." Clearly, a group of people that we want to recognize and acknowledge as leaders, and so that's what was going on there.
Well, I mean, it's a really cinematic picture you're painting. It's a mixture of sci-fi and kind of natural environments.
I mean, it's the Pico top of a mountain, so that was the beginning of it. We got up there in a van on a very sketchy road, which was quite thin. And for most of the evening, I was concerned about how we were going to get down and whether or not we'd fall off the side of a cliff. But we made it. So here I am back on ground, don't call me a city slicker, okay? Because I'm out here getting rugged as shit, you know.
Wearing a button down during driving, this experience?
That's a good question. No, no, there were buttons, but just two buttons at the top, okay? So that was actually, no, there's not even buttons on that one, so I'm completely lying. Buttonless shirt. That's how I'm rolling. I'm getting rugged. So, yeah, there was a collar.
That's really, you know, getting rugged. That's like, that's really something. But look, Nick, it's good to mix it up every once in a while, right? That's not an experience that you would normally have. You went to literally the top of a mountain. We're not even speaking figuratively.
I was up there just trying to inject juice into this market, and yelling things like, my NFTs will go up. Yes, my NFTs will go up. And just saying that sort of positive affirmation to myself as I was standing up there, so that we could influence the market in a positive way. I'm just not clear that they were listening to me, the market, as usual. You can't say I pumped my bags because everything I mentioned on here goes down in price. So I tried last night and thought a ceremonial offering to the gods would have worked. It hasn't.
Well, I will say, I get the thought myself too, where I'm like, if me and Nick had bought Crypto Skulls 2 days ago, or now 3 days ago, when Cryptopolis had come on the show, and if we announced it on the show, would it have pumped the way it did? Because like, I'm literally like, no, I feel like if people find out that you and me bought them, then they're just gonna sell them. So it's like, I don't know, it is a funny thing.
Those dumped the undead, whatever.
Oh, sorry. I said Crypto Skulls. I meant to say Genuine Undead.
Yeah, Genuine Undead. Yesterday, I feel like when we were on the show, they were like 0.35. Then yesterday afternoon, I was looking and it was like 0.11. And our Discord, Cryptopolis was aping in further. Was up to like 15 of them. I don't know what we're
at. He was buying the top after he was in early.
Now, I don't know that he bought the top. It seemed like he was buying at 0.11 and felt that there was immense value there, because again, this is fine pixel art. So I don't know.
All right. Well, moving on with the show, before we throw to Signal for her weather report, King Kicks, it's Friday, amigo. How you doing?
GM. Slept in a little bit, feeling good, looked up. Floor prices just destroyed cryptocurrency down. This is the kind of setup I love going into the weekend. Let's get this.
Oh, okay. All right. We got a little bit of swagger there in Kix's voice. That's pretty cool. Are you going to be degenning on the weekend, or do you have other plans?
I'm taking it super easy this weekend after traveling last weekend. So I'll be around the computer. I'll be able to click some buttons if there's some good buttons to click. Having said that, I was hoping this weekend crypto was going to do nothing, so that we could have some fun in NFTs. But of course, now crypto has decided to start dumping, which may scare some people. So it may change up the setup for this weekend.
It's a very big dump. You know, I've quite frightening sort of situation. I awoke, despite having stood at the top of the mountain and making it to the top of the mountain, thanks to a vehicle. I did no actual physical effort whatsoever. But I was anticipating the market to go up as a result of that, but no. That this is a serious dump for which we should all be very spooked.
I mean, what I will say is, like, when you, Nick, started doing your kind of like trades on Ethereum and Bitcoin, where you were like deploying literally six figures into the market in one fell swoop to try to make like $2,000 or whatever, I did get a kick out of when you'd be in a live trade and you'd be like, Bitcoin just pumped. Like, you know, we'd be on like a work call or something, and you'd be like, Bitcoin just pumped. I knew it was going to happen. I'm in the trade, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And I'd look at the chart and it was literally up like $100. Like, it went from, you know, 21,300 to 21,400. And it just like was hilarious to me that I mean, and it was a pump for you. Like, you made money on that.
I mean, that was because I was deploying $40 million at a time, as I normally do. And so, yeah, that's just what happened there. A lot of people get confused that they hear six figures, like POSA said, and that's just the lowest, you know, that's the lowest that I play. That's when I start playing with pennies. But usually it's more like $40 million, because I have that spare cash because I created Pixelmon.
Well, there you go. Signal, you know, deep in the throes. It's August 19th, so she's 19 days into the typical UK and European holiday where you take the whole month of August and you're on holiday. It's something that us Americans, you know, we think it's foreign, but it sounds pretty good. How's it going with you?
Yeah, going good, going good. Today's conditions are much easier. I did that. I'm never going to try and deliver the show from the beach again. That was just horrific, mainly just because of the amount of noise that you get, aeroplanes flying over. What was it? Somebody was literally trying to sell me one of those large pieces of cloth so I could sit at the beach. I was like, I don't need the cloth. I've got my bed over there. And then, just people and children running around, super annoying. So I decided that I'm staying at the house today so I could have some silence in the background.
Very nice. Staying at the massive villa. I'm sure that there's fine art surrounding you, you know, sculptures, massive paintings on the walls. It's a pretty cool place to be. I just picture you walking down the beach, you know, aviator shades on, taking care of business while you do the show. But please let us know, what's the story with the weather in the NFT space?
Weather in the NFT space. So today, Friday 19th. So it's Friday, everyone. That's good. But 19th of August, let's look at these markets. So overnight, OpenSea volume is at 16 million. So there hasn't been much change overnight, but we have broken out of this sort of low teens that we had at the beginning of the week and have been steadily climbing. So volume looking a little bit healthier there. Onto the leaders. The standout is Apes and Moonbirds. Moonbirds back at 14 ETH, which is good. Looks like they've bottomed out and they've had that price recovery post the Kevin Rose future proof update. Whilst Apes, that floor is now closer to 71 in fact, ETH. And the reason is there's been lots of discussion around the floor price after a Twitter thread came out from Cirrus NFT, and they highlighted the amount of leverage that is currently sitting on Apes on a platform called BenDAO, and this could lead to further liquidation and floor price undercutting. So the eighth floor right now we're seeing is slowly coming back down. In the top three overnight, Genuine Undead, we just spoke about this, looks like it's on a bit of a round trip back down to that sort of 0.12 floor. Pixel Vault, one of the names that we love on this show, the co-founder Odious released an update on the Pixel Vault ecosystem. In the statement, PV has now shifted their focus from doing an animated show to now doing a game. And they're going to be working with a specialist gaming partner to create an immersive experience for the MetaHero community. And it looks like the market liked this news, with MetaHero going back up to 1 ETH. Onto 101Art, and it looks like 101Art is continuing to do very well in these markets despite the conditions. Ferocious piece, The Sailor, just received a bid of $600,000. Ferocious was literally, there's a great clip of them running around and screaming in their living room as they found that they had a bid for $600,000. I think any of us would do the same. Ferocious obviously has their PFP collection coming out later this year, and I'm sure certain holders of their art will get early access. And lastly, Webiverse Genesis Passes saw strong volume last night after they held their very first community call and had an AMA on Twitch. The founders outlined what's happening next in the project and ran a workshop on how to build on the Webiverse platform. The floor price right now is currently holding 0.4. On to crypto, BTC and ETH getting an absolutely smash. So they're down around 8%, quite a drop here. Interesting enough, both Tom Crown Crypto and Bouvet called this out earlier in the week. So right now they said both are going either long or short is very risky. And we're seeing that in the numbers. Overall, at the top of the market, we're seeing price fluctuations and potential bottoming out on some collections, but it's more interesting to note that on the high end of the market, like the 101Art, the rare apes and some of the rare dogs, they're still fetching significant premiums, while the lower end, the action is a lot faster. I'm sure as we approach four, we're going to see a lot more teams delivering announcements. So for now, given what's going on in crypto and given what's happening in the NFT markets, it's still a bit thundery skies. So back to you folks.
Fantastic weather report as usual. Can't wait to throw to Nifty Nick in just a minute. I saw him emojiing during the weather report. I have a hunch as to what he wants to talk about. Also,
what is that?
Well, we're going to talk about it in a minute. Me and Node calling out Fawocious on Node Mode yesterday, Node's new podcast. So that it's great to hear that we were on the money and Fawocious has a lot of attention in the market. Just some other updates from the Nifty Daily Digest, which is also written by Signal. She writes that 5 days a week. It's our newsletter. You can sign up at thenifty.com, and you totally should. The Bored Ape Yacht Club founders Gordon Gonner and Gargamel did their first ever sit-down podcast, the Full Send podcast. Holy shit. So I have to watch this. I did not know this. The hour-and-a-half interview is titled The Bored Ape NFT Founders on Why They're Worth $4 Billion and the Secret to Their Floor Price. Ooh, look at that one. It premiered overnight. So Full Send, by the way, totally on fire. They just had Elon Musk on. They had Donald Trump on. They get some crazy guests on that show. Wow, can't wait to watch that. Also, Boss Beauties, haven't heard that name in a little bit, signed a deal with the Hollywood agency William Morris Endeavor. It's one of the biggest agencies in Hollywood. The Web3 startup will be represented across IP deals in film, gaming, events, and brand partnerships. Coming at a good time during the bear market, probably won't have a massive impact on the floor price, but will be interesting to see what Boss Beauties does. Last but not least, Dapper Labs finally has released the NFL All Day NFT collection, or NFT program, I guess you could say, after a 7 month long closed beta. Packs will include players like Tom Brady, Trevor Lawrence, Javonte Williams. There will be a total of 22,500 packs on sale for $59 each. Sounds like Top Shot all over again. I don't know if I'd be bullish on doing that. It doesn't really sound like a good investment. It sounds like we are exit liquidity for Dapper Labs in the NFL. But if someone has a different opinion, I'd love to be proved wrong. But Nifty Nick, you were emojiing. You raised your hand. Take it away.
First of all, damn, throwing some shots at the NFL. Great move there. I'm actually curious. The bigger question is what the inventory will be. That was the biggest problem with Top Shot, was there was just too many cards. And
like,
that's
how many are in each pack?
No, not on a per pack basis, just the total number sold.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue with Dapper Labs historically. They did the same thing with CryptoKitties, and it ruined CryptoKitties. But they were out right around the same time as CryptoPunks and had, I'm assuming, more trading volume at that point in time. They were sort of like the main player, and a lot of the articles back in 2017 were referring to that. I'm wondering about this Pixel Vault news. Didn't they? I thought they were building a game all along. What the hell? Like, where did this come out that they were making a movie or TV show? I thought, like, when they raised all that money at like last year, the entire foundation of that was, we're building a AAA game. So did they pause that? Did they switch that? And now they're switching back? I'm confused.
No, the game was always being played. I think they were probably trying to deliver the show and the game at the same time. And I imagine they have just said that they're shifting their focus to doing the game rather than doing the animated show.
Got it. Yeah. So they were trying to build a Hollywood studio and a AAA game studio at the same time. Turned out that was really difficult because they've never done both. I don't know. I'm just saying it's quite ridiculous, to the situation. But so they're basically just saying, we're not doing the TV show anymore.
I think their priority, that's how I read it, that they're going to be focusing on doing the game. Game has been outsourced specialist, and it's the specialist is going to be partnering with Pixel Vault to deliver the game. That's how I read that statement. And there was also some further information on how they're going to still bring value to the Mint Pass 2 with dots. Dots is something else in the ecosystem. But essentially, the message was the system isn't going to be getting more inflationary. We're trying to make it more deflationary and continue to deliver the pillars that they set out to deliver.
What's the last video game you played that was outsourced? League do that, didn't they? The studio was kind of like, yeah, I think the Rocket League studio, they're just like, we don't really know how to play video games. Let's go hire.
We're gonna hire a team. We raised money at least, so we're good to go. Yeah, we'll just hey, you guys want to go make success for us? Thank you. Yeah, I think that was how the whole business was built. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
okay.
Cool. Well, yeah. To be fair, though, the last in-house game I played was the Cool Cats game.
that just means you literally never play video games.
Okay. All right. Quad has his hand raised. Quad, be nice. Go ahead. Nice.
What is this? Be nice.
Quad goes hard. You were fine, but Quad goes hard.
Hey, I just want to apologize for an observation about something that was said earlier.
Good, Nick. Quad goes hard as fuck. So I was just telling him to be nice, but go ahead, Quad.
No, you're good. You're good, guys. I've had my coffee this morning too. I'm not as jacked as Peel was earlier, but first off, as a large Pixel Vault holder, I've heard of this TV series that you guys are talking about. So like maybe I'm even behind or something like that, but like I literally, like, I don't think that's a thing. I don't think an animated series has ever been a thing. This kind of just like reinforces their like gaming focus. I feel like being a AAA game has been talked about for MetaHeroes since the beginning, but I've literally never heard this TV show mentioned. I do think that one of the things that was kind of interesting, and I think a lot of people have known for a while, is they're bringing in a second artist, and there's going to be a second rendition of MetaHeroes that essentially, I think, works a little bit better with animation and things like that. But I think that's another confusing part of this, is they're literally adding, so your MetaHero will kind of have like two renditions of it in its art, and Chris Wall is going to stick to the comics, and then there's, you know, your other MetaHero will be better rigged for you to use it in a game. But it's really hard to not just completely just like sit on your hands until they actually deliver something. This is yet another announcement with nothing delivered.
There's two things I wanted to follow up on. The first is I was wrong, Kicks. That wasn't the last game I played that was outsourced. I was playing cards last night, and I heard the team behind the playing cards had outsourced the manufacturing of those cards to a company in China. So that's the last outsourced game I played. And the cards operated absolutely perfectly. I was able to shuffle them. They had the right texture. They were perfectly playable cards. The second thing I was going to say is I want to drop a little bit of alpha here about our NFT. We officially will not be continuing forward with the triple characters in there. We're not going to be doing that game. We're also not going to be making a Hollywood film. A lot of people have been asking us about that. I just want to confirm once again that we've decided against proceeding down that path. We are not going to be doing that. So a lot of people have been asking us questions. They've been saying, hey, you guys raised $1 million here. Are you going to build a AAA game or produce a Hollywood movie? And just to confirm, no, we will be doing neither of those things moving forward. We're still working on the PFP project. We just want to confirm our focus and our commitment to developing that. Despite delays, we are staring down the face of adversity, and we will overcome and deliver that to our holders. And we are very enthusiastic about that. Again, no game. No movie studio going to be involved. Unfortunately, a lot of people were excited about that, but that's no longer happening.
Definitely expecting a positive response from the market, just like the positive response from the market to Pixel Vault. I'm going to throw to Eddie now. I want to hear from some new speakers. We got some cool speakers on stage. Bavin, who's investing in an NFT fund, or at least a Web3 fund of sorts. We got Tuggy, who is an Aku moon god like me and fractional owner of a bunch of pretty cool NFTs. And OX Journey, whose bio just says crypto, stocks, and tech. So I'm excited to hear from some of the new speakers that we actually, you know, we don't normally have on the show, but Eddie has his hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, so just really quick, first, you mentioned the Full Sun podcast from last night. It's actually a really great podcast, and it had a lot of the energy that I was hoping to see at the community spaces. Just whatever you do, I wouldn't really look at the comment section. It's pretty nasty down there.
Nasty against NFTs, because the mainstream just really tribalistically hates NFTs. Yeah.
So I wouldn't do that. Other news, and you were mentioning Signal mentioned Moonbirds and their kind of pump following Future Proof. I would like touch on why. In large part, it's because one, Kevin Rose, as heavily implied as he possibly could without actually stating that he could, that there was a proof token coming, like a fungible token. So there's that. But I actually also think that one of the more undervalued parts of the Proof ecosystem is the oddities now, because, you know, they pretty much outlined that the oddities will be burnable for the next collection, which will be Ravens. So which Gremplin was pretty happy about, apparently. Apparently, Gremplin was like, man, I wish I could burn more of my art, according to Rose. But I'm starting to look at oddities as like a potential nice play, as I think Ravens is, like, whatever Ravens is, I'd say it's probably going to be worth more than an ETH, and oddities are worth an ETH right now. So that's something I'm looking at.
That's a nice, I mean, you're right, Eddie. And so Moonbirds, the bottom was 11 Ethereum. Now they're sitting at 14 Ethereum. So in 2 days.
The temporary bottom.
You think it's going to go lower?
I don't know. They haven't hired a AAA game specialist yet, so I'm a little concerned.
Nick, go ahead.
If ETH actually ends up doing a double dump here, then the whole NFT market will definitely go on a drop. That's why also, like, I don't like looking at that CryptoPunk trade as a massive win just yet, because I've been expecting that to drop even further, and I would not be surprised to see my position be net negative for a period of time, just because we have no idea what the deal is with, like, we still have inflation. It's not gone. So I think a lot of the general macro headwinds that were in place are still in place. And so we have not, we're not completely out of the water on these things. So it's difficult to predict downside risk at this point, but there's still plenty of it. And we've seen new lows during this cycle on volume on NFTs. So I would not be surprised in the least to see them across the board on floors, including like we're seeing with Bored Apes right now.
All righty, that's Nick's take. I want to throw to Easy and then to Bavin. Easy, what's on your mind?
Yeah, it was actually about what Eddie was talking to with the Nelk podcast. It was interesting to hear the Bored Ape team refer to Other Side as a platform and not a game. So that was like kind of a curveball when I was hearing them break that down. They touched on a lot of things, but I mean, it's also tough because like the Nelk team, I guess you could call it, doesn't really ask the best questions. So there was a lot of back and forth, but that was really like the main takeaway for me was their wording around the fact that it's not going to be a game. So I'm torn really kind of what the longer plan is for that, if it's going to be something like a sandbox or Decentraland where they really want other people to make stuff on top of it.
People throw so much shade at this Nelk podcast, and yet they get the biggest guests. They have a huge audience. I watched the beginning of the Elon Musk one, and the guy starts by going, Elon, like, how's your day? And I just thought that was the funniest thing ever. You have Elon Musk on the podcast, and the first question you ask is like, how is your day? I got a big kick out of that. But you're saying it wasn't that good of a podcast, Easy?
No. Okay. I don't think he's saying it's bad. I think he's saying that he thought it was interesting how Bored Ape Yacht Club framed or spoke towards the Other Side, not using the word game, and specifically using the word platform, which would mean that there's a potential that they're taking more of a sandbox route than a centralized game.
But just to clarify, they did say they are building a game on top of it, but they'd refer to it as a platform.
Yeah, just so to clarify, I think they're going to be allowing that. Yeah, and they mentioned in the pod too, someone just called it out as well, that someone else building a game could be a possibility. So like, I think the fact that they're going to be taking some pieces of the land and establishing something themselves, but then allowing other people to do a similar approach. So it does give me more like sandbox feel to it, which makes a lot of sense with how they're rolling out the land. We still have another 100,000 airdrop for it. But other than that, we got useless. That's the good stuff.
I got played.
Okay. How did you get played?
I bought sandbox land, and then Other Side's coming out. They're going to do stuff. I should have noticed a connection. Anna Monica Brands, they just said, hey, dude, here's the sandbox. Look, just do it and call it something else and put some Bored Apes in it. We're just gonna run it back, dude.
That honestly sounds like what might have happened.
All right, so crazy. It's a couple things. It's Animoca Brands, number
Anna
two,
Monica.
Anna Monica Brands.
It's Animaniac Brands, dude. Come on.
There we go. A little bit. I was thinking of Monica from Friends, and we got Animaniacs going on here. This is just a whole 90s redux. I'm liking it.
Yeah, and we got to get. I can't wait for Kicks to get an iPhone, and we're gonna get him Google Mesh router. We're giving him a full tilt technical upgrade. I'm excited. So we're gonna throw to Bavin investing at 10T Fund. Bavin, you and me follow each other. We've exchanged some DMs. I don't believe you've been on the show before. What's on your mind?
Hey, appreciate you having me. So yeah, I listen to the show every single day, but wanted to come up today just because yeah, I wanted to touch on what Nick was talking about with ETH going down and some of the blue chip projects maybe falling. So I have a different take on that. I think as ETH goes down, a lot of the people that I've spoken to who maybe don't have NFT exposure but have, call it, higher bank accounts are willing to buy these NFTs because in terms of actual dollar prices, they're going down now. And so stuff like Punks, I think you saw when Punks hit like a 48 ETH floor when ETH was around 1,000, 1,050, you saw a crazy amount of volume flow in there because I think people look at these major blue chip projects with Punks, Apes, Moonbirds, I put Doodles in there, CloneX, in terms of dollar amount, and they think it's a great entry now. So I think as ETH goes down, I think ETH goes sideways for the next 6 months here, roughly, maybe in like the 1,500 to 2,000 range, and you could see a lot of, I think, rise in some of the blue chip collections. We'd love to hear people's thoughts on that.
What do you think, Nick?
I mean, it sounds good. I have no idea which way it's going. But I think Kix was actually saying something similar. It was like, are we stuck in a range? I think his thought was 1,600 to 2,000. I mean, I like that range. If I can buy the bottom of the range and we actually get support here and you get another bounce up, I mean, you can trade that and make money all day if you keep printing 50% going up and down each way. So I'm a fan of that. But yeah, other than that,
I mean, it kind of goes to PO's point too earlier, I think yesterday or the day before, where some of these projects that you know are actually getting funding from not just VCs, but a lot of VCs are investing in some of these companies and projects that are turning into companies, not just projects. And I think that's going to just not just the NFT native buyers, but outside buyers who see legitimacy when you see those kinds of prints.
It reminds me of the internet bubble, basically, where it's like you're investing in the potential of the internet. And I guess the one thing that's hard to predict is sort of which of these are going to properly execute. And there was a whole graveyard of companies that came out of that bubble. So all these things are positive, though. And I mean, I think seeing it seems like a common thing to get signed by an agency like we just saw with Boss Beauties. And there's other sort of like standard sort of playbook things right now. But a lot of those playbooks feel very similar to the 90s, where you'd like announce different things about a company without anything actually being fundamentally changed. And I think it's not going to be until next year when we start seeing major things on the game at the earliest. So, I mean, here's hoping. We're heavily invested in this space. So I would like nothing more than this to be the bottom of the blue chip NFTs. That would be wonderful. So please pump the remaining bags that I have and send them to the moon.
Spencer, any thoughts on this coming from the fund world?
So from the fund world, like I disagree a little bit. I think that we will range not for 6 months, we will range up until the merge. And I think there's two things can happen at the merge. One is it could be true that people are not certain that the merge is actually happening. And so when the merge actually happens, there would be a bump afterwards. The other is that people are waiting for the merge to happen to dump. But I think whichever it is there, and so like we'll see a big correction down. I think we'll range between maybe 1,500 to 2,000, as you guys said, leading up to the merge. But then post merge, I think we either go to like 1,300 or below. We could go as low as maybe 800, 700. If the merge gets delayed at all, like forget it. Like we're going real low. And then if you know, there's also a chance post merge we go straight up to 2,500, and that's where we range. But I think that we're in for a period of really extreme. I mean, we're already seeing it, but like, I don't see a reason why the ETH volatility would go down leading up to the merge. And especially post merge, I think we're going to see a lot of volatility because what I'm hearing from people who I've talked to is just like they're sort of positioned like 3 weeks out for their strategy for the merge, and they're just going to sit and see. If you see the outflow of Ethereum from exchanges, is really intense. It's huge over the last like month or so. And I think a lot of people are just like uncertain if exchanges are going to do the merge correctly. But you could also interpret that in a number of other ways. Like that might be people gearing up to stake in the ETH2 contract as soon as the merge is live. And so if there's a huge decrease in circulating supply because the outflow from exchanges is due to people trying to stake in the ETH2 contract, then that might be giga bullish for the ETH post-merge. We just don't know.
Really hard to tell. Could go up, could go down. All I know is the merge, objectively speaking, is a really big event. We've been talking about that. I mean, DC Investor said it's the biggest event since the advent of Ethereum. I asked Tom Crown, Bitcoin analyst, that question. He's very Bitcoin focused, so he wasn't as, you know, like enthusiastic about that one. But, you know, before I throw to Chris,
nothing like people other than Satoshi providing commentary on the future of Bitcoin who just trade it. That's the only issue with that is that I feel like the Ethereum side, at least you have active development. And when this merge happens, this is one of like the thing that everyone was saying would never happen is actually happening. And I feel like
a large
portion of that FUD came directionally from sort of the Bitcoin side, which was like, yeah, the beauty is that we'll never change. But yeah, it's whenever this rolls out, it's going to be a positive thing. But like we mentioned before, fundamentally, I do not actually believe that this merge has anything, despite what other people say about like, oh, you have a potential deflationary levels. Although supposedly the thing I read by someone the other day was that gas needs to be above 15 Gwei for ETH to be deflationary. I don't know how the whole logic works out, to be completely honest about the deflationary, but regardless, it's just a floating asset and deflationary, inflationary, whatever. I actually don't see it being a major impact on the price. Call me stupid. A lot of people will, but it's a floating asset. That's the bottom line with these things. And the price is just whatever the price people will pay, and price go up and price go down. And that is completely independent of the deflationary impact. And the rate of deflation in this space is relatively small. Like I feel like it was like over the next year, you could see 5% reduction in supply, which sounds significant, but as a whole, I don't think it has an impact on the day-to-day trading of speculators in the market. So that's the only thing where I'm just like, it's a good narrative, but it's not necessarily like has any fundamental impact, at least in my opinion, outside of the market cap size. And then, then you could say, well, the market cap needs to be X amount, but like, I don't know where that number comes from. So,
I kind of agree with you on this. I think to me, I don't think the reason I said 6 months is I definitely think the merge is bullish for ETH, but I don't think you're really going to see the full effects until 6 months later when withdrawals are enabled for the Beacon chain, just because that is when you'll finally realize who is actually doing this as a trade and who actually is long-term ETH. And I think there's a lot of people piling in who just hear merge positive for price, let's buy ETH, and don't actually know that withdrawals aren't going to be enabled on the Beacon chain for another 6 months. And well, then you'll start seeing some market stabilization, I think.
And I think it's not guaranteed exactly 6 months. It's just approximately 6 months. So we have no idea when that actually is going to happen. I think it's at a minimum 6 months from when you bought in. But regardless, we don't need to go all the way down the technical side of ETH, but I just think all this price action and all the speculation around it is nothing more than that, which is speculation.
Regardless, never a dull moment when you're talking about these markets. Big event coming up in September, allegedly, the Ethereum merge. I want to throw to Chris Bennett. Chris Bennett, a man that wears many hats, but one thing that's notable for us is a former sponsor of the show through Space Plus NFT. If I recall correctly, Chris, you guys are sending 5 people to outer space, so cool. You're a pal of Node, you're a pal of mine. What's on your mind?
Yeah, man, lots on my mind. Agree with Beehaven on ETH. I think a lot of retail people are thinking also that the merge means like everything's done and fully fixed in September and don't realize there's like 7 more steps to go after that. And also I'm bullish on the energy saving side that will start right away and for institutions and things like that. But I mean, gas isn't going to change and other stuff like that. And I think it's just going to be confusing for a while, but I'm hoping for ETH to range because that's usually the best case scenario for NFTs is ETH ranging. I wanted to jump in on the oddities play. I think that's a smart play as well. But from what I've gathered in the Proof Discord and other stuff, that's not for Ravens. That's for a companion drop to Moonbirds that's different. Why I say that is from what they've always said Ravens is going to be a really, really high mass token, maybe even free at first or very close to free, because they want to use that as the base level ticket or token to get into high rise. So I'm pretty sure Ravens is going to be separate from whatever the oddities burn is going to do. And Ravens is going to be like the really cheap, really base level, kind of not really something you trade, but something you have in order to get into high rise, get access to high rise and things like that, from my understanding.
Gotcha. I mean, yeah, like Kevin Rose has a lot going on. You know, me and Node were talking about, yeah, Grails. Node informed me some stuff about Grails too that I didn't know. I didn't know that, like, they showed the pieces, kept the artist a secret, and the edition size is determined by what people choose. So it's almost like maybe the most popular stuff ends up getting the most editions. But then he's got High Rise. He's got oddities that kind of came out of the blue. He's got 10,000 Moonbirds. We don't know what Ravens are. You've got your speculation. Eddie has his. There's a lot going on in that ecosystem.
Yeah, I like that he's targeting high rise as kind of like a web 2 hybrid, more dashboard style metaverse, as opposed to like making everybody think VR is the only way you can be in a metaverse. I think it's actually a cool alternative to like Other Side and some other stuff, because that's kind of his angle, I think, is more dashboardy style with some design and stuff built in. But I actually think that's really good. I think that's kind of what we need right now in terms of getting people more active in metaverses and things like that, as opposed to just, you know, especially people at my age, I'm in my 40s. I don't want to be on freaking VR all day. I'm not a gamer. I'd rather be surfing and stuff like that. So I like his type of a dashboard, and he's going to be set it up to where we can set up our own galleries and kind of things like that. And I think that's cool. I think that's kind of a good bridge.
Someone just made a comparison in our Discord, comparing Ravens to the Doodles' recent approach. I think they're pointing to supply. I'd be curious. I see Bavin has a Doodle as his profile picture. I think there's at least one other Doodle on, or maybe Node and Nick both sold their Doodles. And I know Kix just bought into the Doodles ecosystem actually recently. I don't know. What do we think about where Doodles is going with the increase of supply? And I think, I don't know if this came directly from Doodles, but isn't there speculation that Doodles wants to, you know, eventually have like high supply NFTs that cost like $50, but everything ultimately accruing value to the original collection? I mean, one quick throw on that, and then we can go to some of the other speakers on stage. But I'd be curious, any Doodles holders, Kix, Bavin, former holders, Node, Nick, any comments on that, and maybe a comparison to Kevin's system?
Yeah, so I just bought my Doodle last weekend.
Hell yeah, dude.
So yeah, I bought it at 88th. I should have maybe waited for the week for the further drop. The reason I got this one is, one, it's the closest Doodle to the one that Bieber got. So thinking if he ever does anything music related with his Doodle, I think that'd be, yeah, that's the reason I chose this specific one. But my thinking around Doodles is this. I think they are the one project that has carved out a way that the holders community really wants them, the team, to execute on a vision. I think the founders of Doodles themselves, given that they have that background as CryptoKitties, they brought in Julian, who has that big music background at Billboard. People are trusting them with the IP, whereas Moonbirds went full CCO, Bored Apes give each individual holder the license. I think those are like three verticals, and those are the three leaders in each of those categories kind of going forward. So the reason I chose the Doodle is I would like exposure to all three of those. One CCO, one IP owned by the holders, one the project. And I think the Doodles Bank kind of is something special there as well. So
I'd love to see the price go down on Doodles. So I didn't, I ended up not having sold the Pico bottom of it. That would be what I'd like to see. And then maybe I'd buy again at a cheaper price, but who knows? Maybe I completely messed up that trade.
Nick, just buy a couple Genesis boxes because you don't get a whole doodle. You just get a piece of clothing, but some of their clothing may be cool.
So what? I'm gonna get another hoodie. What? And why are all the hoodies that I'm getting black? Like I just
don't know. It's a digital piece of clothing. You don't have to worry about like buying more clothing hangers for your apartment or anything. Just pure digital.
That's great. Okay, well that's perfect. I'm better looking forward to wearing my digital hoodies. Yeah, that's going to be awesome in the metaverse, which doesn't exist, for which I own land. Yeah, that sounds promising.
There you go. Spencer raised his hand. I'll throw it to him quickly. Then we're going to go to Tuggy. Spencer, something to add there?
Yeah, it's just a little bit crazy to me to think that like at NFT NYC or even like immediately after, you could have sold a duplicator for more than the cost than the price of a doodle right now in ETH terms. And like, I don't think that's a commentary on doodles. I think that's a commentary on the overall market and how relatively cheap to even like when things felt like they started hurting earlier on in the last couple of months, how relatively cheap some of these blue chip NFTs are. But and I think through the merge, we will continue to see like this isn't even yet true capitulation. But I think we'll continue to see liquidity crunches through the merge as people just become more bullish on ETH.
Could happen. Bavin, you raised your hand.
I totally agree with Spencer there. It's like you could have sold a mutant in dollar terms for 100 grand at one point, 120 grand at one point.
Imagine not doing that.
Kept that in dollars, turned that into ETH when ETH was at 1,000, and then bought an ape and a doodle. Like that's the kind of thing where I think people need to start looking at the prices of NFTs in dollar terms a little too, as well as ETH, because I think that speaks a lot.
Can somebody get this guy off stage? Jeez, like it's just pissing me off the fact that I messed up this trade so badly. Okay. This is just unacceptable. At least I didn't buy 13 apes and sell them for a $50 profit like Kicks, right?
Okay, all right. We're gonna leave Kicks alone on that. He's got his scars. But I will say the funniest buy and sell that we looked at on Kicks's account was when he bought the pimp coat ape or whatever that trait is called in the ape ecosystem. He bought it for one ETH and he sold it 2 weeks later for one ETH. Just an absolutely elite move. So we got Tuggy on stage. I don't believe that Tuggy's been, or maybe you have been on stage before. You're a moon god like me from the Akutar ecosystem, and you're a fractional owner of a bunch of cool stuff, Bored Ape Yacht Club asset, two Mutant Ape Yacht Club assets. You raise your hand. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the Mega OG Akutar chapters. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that, but first I just wanted to say I'm with Nick. I'd really like something different to wear, you know, maybe like those trucker utility jackets, the ones that say like Jerry or Bob Steiner, you know, and then insert your favorite PFP project. But what do you think about like those OGs?
Some neon 90s sort of like windbreaker jacket. I'd like some action like that. That's something that I'm looking for. Pio, we gotta make something like this happen. I took a photo of this the other day inside of a store and I was like, we gotta get creative. Like we can't, the you know, we'll start with a hoodie. We'll, you know, we'll deliver a hoodie, but we got to come up with something. We got to create a new fashion brand. I, you know, we already announced that we're not doing we're also not doing a music studio. A lot of people were asking about that, but we're also not doing a movie studio. We're not doing a music studio and we're not doing a AAA gaming thing. So it does feel like a full blown fashion brand would be appropriate here.
Well, I mean, first of all, when people ask me what I do, if I'm just like at a bar or I'm at like a party meeting new people, I just, now that we've got like merch coming out, I just immediately tell them that no hesitation, I'm a fashion designer. That's like my full-time job. That's what I do, you know? But back to you, Tuggy. So you were asking, I know what you're talking about. It got airdropped into my wallet, but I'm looking at my wallet now and I can't find it. It's the token for being a Mega Akutar holder, right?
No, it's a chapter, just like the chapter series, the first 10. You got airdropped what's essentially called Chapter 1 Mega OG chapter. And I didn't know anything about it either until it showed up. But then I went in there and I was talking to Micah, in summer, and apparently it's going to be a 1 of 5 chapter set that is going to be collaborated with the Moon Gods. So it sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, I definitely like it. It's a very affordable price if people want to buy it on the secondary quarter ETH. This project, you know, obviously there was turbulence during the mint and that kind of slowed it down. It was, I mean, Dingling did a floor sweep on it to the tune of like $180,000 or something like it. It actually might have been more pre-reveal, like when it was still in that kind of token stage. And right now the floor price has, it's been killed a little bit. It's at 0.35 ETH. I actually like had a thought the other day where I was like, yo, I think I might just start aping these at 0.35 ETH. Because the thing about this collection, this project, is that, you know, I've been talking about buying Web3 businesses versus NFT projects. And this like is like the epitome of a Web3 business. And Mike has done an elite job of partnering with brands like from Web2, so to speak, right? He partnered with Planes. And, you know, there's so many connections that he's made from Web2 and some decent connections with Web3. And like, if you're going to bet, like there's nothing else at the 0.35 price point that I can think of. Maybe there's some 10 KTF assets that you could throw in there. And if anyone else has any other ideas at 0.35 that are interesting, to me, there's no like Web3 business that's as robust as this one with as strong of like, you know, talent running the show. So I definitely considered like just adding at 0.35 for sure. And I might still do it. I'm biased, right? I have all 10 chapters, even some doubles of chapters. I have, you know, I don't know how many Akutars, like 7 or 8, including OG ones and mega OG, one mega OG one. And obviously there's been airdrops that come too. I think it's just a matter of time with this one. This one had a moment recently. I had a rare one listed at a super high price. It was like 7 Ethereum or something like that. It had just been listed for a while because I got lucky on the reveal and I got a really rare one. And right after that Time magazine cover, it had its little moment and that one sold. Total surprise. Total surprise to me. I just woke up and it was like an $11,000 sale. I was like, hell yeah, like that's pretty cool. You know, posted a big sale for the collection and you know, got $11,000 for something that got airdropped to me for free. So definitely cool stuff. But yeah.
What was the trade?
It was just, it was gold cereal.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's a good one. Signal, you have your hand raised. You're also a moon god. Something to add on this before we move on?
Yeah, no, just to say, I think, you know, I can't remember who was saying it, but I think it was Bhavin who was just saying about having within your portfolio different collections that have different IP licenses. So you've got the CCO, you've got the one where the individuals own the license, and you have the one which is sort of the Doodles model. And Aku is certainly more with the Doodles model, where the vision of the project sits with the founder. And this is probably one of the only projects where I'm just like, I do not want this to be CCO. I just want Micah to execute on his very clear vision of where he wants this character to go into the future. And it's just one where I'm like, whether the price goes up, whether the price goes down, I don't actually mind, because I'm just very confident that he can execute and bring this character to life on a global scale.
Yeah.
So I would say this is, yeah. And also, and the second point here, which I think is really important, Micah, whilst he's the founder, I also kind of think of him like almost like a community manager. He's always in a Discord every single day. And you just don't see that across all projects now, like 1.5 years into this, where the founders are still in the Discord, still coming in, still asking the community their idea, their feedback, and then incorporating that feedback into the project. And those two factors really stand out for me, which is why I'm just like, I'm happy to wait the 3 to 5 years and we'll see what happens to Aku and we'll see where he ends up on the global stage. So this is why I'm such an OG holder on this.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Just a couple things. It's like when he had the big sculpture in Financial District during NFT NYC, people were just like coming up and they didn't know what it was. And they were taking pictures of it and they were just asking people like, what is this? You know, there is like mass appeal. I'm biased. I've been holding since February 2021. So I'm totally biased on that. But yeah, Tuggy, you raise your hand one more time and then we can move on.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I like your idea of going in for these Mega OG chapters, but I think the better play is to go in and secure the moon, another Moon God set. At the high, they were trading for 100 grand, all 10 chapters. was something like 100 grand or more. Now you can get them for as low as 20 grand. So all 10 chapters, that's kind of appealing. And then you're going to be in that Moon God Discord, you know, curating sort of what the next chapters look like, which I think is really cool. And Signal, to your point about you hope they don't go CCO, I was on Twitter Space yesterday with Roger Dickerman and with Micah on the call or on the space, and he said they're exploring the idea of commercial rights for Moon Gods only.
Look at that. Always rewarding the top. Eddie, you raised your hand during that. Is that something to add on this?
No. It's separate. You can come back.
No, I mean, we're wrapped on that. So we'll throw to Eddie, and then Manny's had his hand raised. What's going on, Eddie?
I just wanted to bring up something that I'd brought up a few weeks ago. I mentioned the new chain Aptos, APTOS, and stuff that they're working on. Today is the day that their testnet 2 goes live. And I just wanted to recommend that, like, it's, I believe, like, if you work on this incentivized testnet and you run a node, you can earn up to 500 Aptos. But first off, it's not available to U.S. residents, so I'm not doing it, unfortunately. And the other problem, I'll be there in a sec. The other problem is it's not easy. Like, I looked up some YouTube tutorials, and they're all in French. So if you wanted to try, it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do. But I'd say it's a decent chain to be looking at and a way to get some free tokens.
Eddie, always trying to surface something that isn't normally talked about on the show. I really appreciate that, Eddie. Manny has his hand raised. What's going on, Manny?
To Eddie's point, I wanted to say we, but I think the biggest thing with Aptos is it's just reskinned Libra. So it was the Facebook marketplace, like cryptocurrency, and they're just reskinning it and then doing it that way. So super bullish on that. But the biggest thing I wanted to talk about was the Moonbird CCO thing. Like, that is like the biggest GigaBrain move, now that you don't have to have a call with OpenSea and talk about like who like pirated your collection that day. It tells me at a really fast pace, and like the transition from a 2D flat metaverse like that is more palatable than putting on a VR headset until Apple sells us those VR headsets in October. But outside of that, like, just super bullish on the team and like super bullish on Kevin Rose. I'm looking to get an oddity here pretty soon just to be in the network, right? Like, it's all about being in the vortex.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if you had exposure. It sounds like you don't, but you're thinking about doing an oddity.
Yeah, definitely looking into that, because it's like the lowest, like, you get access to the Discord, and that's all you really need.
Yeah, Nick.
Where did you come up with Apple releasing a headset in October? I thought that it was delayed till late next year.
I'll have to circle back and talk to my dude at Apple, but they moved their engineering headquarters to where I'm from, so I'll have to talk to him. But I thought it was slated for October. I'll have to circle back.
We got Manny out here speaking with the CEO of Apple. Shout out to Manny for that inside scoop. Breaking news, everybody. Apple dropping a VR headset in only 2 years, bringing us into the mixed reality where we're going to have both AR and VR all on top of our head in only 2 months. The metaverse is here.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first from Nick. Look, I just let Crypto for NFT on stage. Haven't heard from Crypto for Hello. NFT in a long time. Absolute yes. Legend. What's going on?
I wanted to mention about Aptos. I don't remember who it was saying that U.S. residents cannot do the testnet. I did get onto VPN, and I created two wallets. It was very easy, straightforward. I can provide a kind of instruction somewhere in Portal, Discord, if anyone wants to see it. And you can create as many wallets as possible, and I think this will be a good opportunity. That's really what I wanted to say.
All right, well, now that we have you, I got a line of questioning for you, Crypto for NFT.
Yes. So
if I recall correctly, you are a full-time crypto and NFT trader. Is that correct?
Well, I came from the traditional finance background, but I started investing in cryptos in 2017, accumulated a few Bitcoins and Ethereums. And I really kind of just ignored the whole NFT space, because when Board Ages came around, I was like, okay, what is this monkey? I was totally not interested. I invested all my assets or majority of them into the different type of cryptos. So I was very early on in Sandbox, in all these currencies. And 2000, was, you know, during the COVID, a few months before, I started investing into more historical NFTs, curio cards. I have 10 cards. I invested in currency and all these more like a blue chip art related. And I still didn't get into any PFPs. But that's how I started.
Okay, but you have a Bored Ape now.
Well,
what price did you buy the Bored Ape at?
Well, okay, let me tell you the story. I wanted to get into Bored Ape for a long time, but I just, you know, had no liquidity. Then all of a sudden, I remember I had the Bitcoins, so I started doing leverages. I borrow lots of Ethereums to buy CryptoPunks. So I got into CryptoPunks when it was about touching 50K or below. At the time, I told Easy, I say, you have to get into it. And he was like mulling over. So I got into it. I've been texting him. I'm saying, you got to get into it, got to get into it. Anyway, so I somehow just was able to scramble all my ETH at 4 pounds at around 50 ETH.
With leverage, like a leveraged bet. You were borrowing ETH to buy.
This trade is one of the best moves I've ever heard. Let her finish because this trade is unreal.
Yeah, I'm just giving context. It's leveraged, right?
Yes. So, by the way, somehow I pay off all my loans from those 4 punks.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify something that Pio said. It's leveraged. It's collateralized, though. So
yes,
she used her Bitcoin to get the ETH.
That's right. So I did not touch USDC because I really didn't know what the direction was going to go. So I somehow pay off all my loan, and it's long history. I just cannot recall all the trade I did. But then from there, I traded 3 punks for 2 apes. Unfortunately, the apes I got was kind of high in the price, but this are long-term holds for me. So I have 2 pink furs, ape, and they are in the reality about 2,000 to 3,000 range. And I think, you know, and oh, by the way, also I sold, I have to say, I was texting Nick. I sold my doodles, which I bought about 1 E at 24.75, somewhere there before the oddity. Then on the day that he sold his doodles, I sold my Macy. My mutant, which I got about 4.25, I sold at 3.95.
Yeah, so you made a little bit, but not in USD, because when those mutants were minting, ETH was like near an all-time high. So Pio and I went and looked back at how much we paid for our mutants, and what was it? It was around like $9,000.
Which was more than I remembered.
Well, I paid for $7,500 around there, and I got out 27. So I still got 20K of gain out of it. But I'm a long-term ETH bull. Yes, I do believe that we are going to, you know, go into bear market. I would like to get more ETH at around 850 range if I could, but I would DCA in, and in the long term, I believe ETH has, okay, I'm holding these assets for 10 years or even longer.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. So let me just ask you, so those trades are legendary. I've known this about you for a long time. Since we first started doing this show, you've been on the show, you've been in the Discord. I've known that you just dominate your market participation. One question, and then we'll move on. Like, what if you had to buy one NFT right now, like what would you buy for like the short to medium term? Is it an oddity? Is it something else? Like, what do you think has the best upside for the short to medium term right now?
Well, I'm a collector, so I would buy one more punk. But I right now have no liquidity, so I've been strategizing. I have for the past 2 weeks, I've been thinking how I could get another punk. So this is my long-term play. And for short-term, I don't know. I think I may do crypto dick butt, which I didn't get in.
You would buy a crypto dick butt at this level right here?
No, no. I will wait. I'm hoping they will go down to about 2 ETH. Maybe not, but my goal is CryptoPunks. So I'm just, all the others is just my kind of play money.
Okay. Well, so I get,
if the goal is CryptoPunks and you had 4, then what?
No,
I don't understand.
I know I trade 3 for 2 ETH. So right now I only have 1 punk left.
Sorry, I think it's a little hard for Nick to understand just how much of a badass you are and how many insane moves that you've made. Meanwhile, he's just held his one little tiny ape up and down. So,
and a punk.
No, yeah, you're right.
He made a great buy with the punk.
I have one specific punk in mind. I'm just hoping that the drop price will drop and nobody's going to snatch it. And I'm not going to tell you which one.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to know the number. Thank you.
I mean, we're talking to someone that's absolutely elite. Let me just and I appreciate your response and I get it. Let me just reframe the question. Like, I guess real quick, because oddities are at around 1 ETH and there are a decent amount of people that can afford that. Do you like that at 1 ETH or do you think that that's not a buy at that number? I'm just using it as an example.
I would. In fact, yesterday I posted a few questions to the Moonbird community, and I inquired about, because I was about to pull the trigger to sell my Moonbird, which I got from Raffle, right? I was about to pull the trigger, but then I see this, you know, 30 points of explanation from someone who is very familiar with, who is in the community. Then I changed my mind. I would totally keep my oddity for whatever reason, I forgot. But if I have the liquidity, I would get at least 2 or 3 more.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, crypto for NFT, everybody, an absolute badass. You can find her in the Nifty Portal Discord. I just tried to friend request you because we're not friends on Discord, but you don't accept friend requests. So, you know, I guess I'm going to stay not friends with you. But thank you for joining, as always. You haven't been on the show in a long time. Come anytime.
Okay, yeah, it was awesome hanging with you at the Nifty Portal party, too.
Okay, thank you. So nice talking to you all.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Yeah, come anytime. No, you got your hand raised. What's on your mind, buddy?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little worn out. You know, I kind of left it all in the ring, as it were, from Node Mode yesterday. But really enjoying the conversation. I will say, on the subject of CDBs, Perugia, who owns an alien punk and I believe only owns punks, bought some crypto dick butts yesterday.
Damn,
which is an interesting it's an interesting move. But I did have a question. I've been seeing somebody hit me up in my DMs about 6529's, you know, releases and what he's doing. And honestly, it's kind of funny. I haven't really tracked him very much on his actual NFTs. And I know he's up to something. Does anybody have any insight in that as to what he's actually doing? He's releasing more NFTs soon, but I'm not sure what is actually happening.
I don't have context on that. I don't know if maybe Eddie, Spencer, somebody might know what 6529's up to. I'm assuming he's moving in silence in many ways. You might have to be an insider, might have to have some dick butts to really get access to that info.
What's interesting is he has, like, remember he released his gradients and then, like, nobody really talked about him. But I know it's like he's doing something else right now with, like, maybe releasing, like, something to do. You know, he's calling them memes, of course, but. Yeah, there's something going on there, and I'm gonna research that. So just wasn't sure if anyone knew anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone does, definitely speak up. No, so are you actually, you're worn out from the podcast? You're tired after yesterday?
Well, you know, I mean, I was pretty excited. I put a suit on, you know, like I put a suit on for the first time in a long time. You know, we got a little stressed with our audio in the beginning, but we fixed that. Another reason I might be tired is in the last 2 weeks, I decided I need to get into the minds of these crypto degens. So I'm not a gamer, but I decided I'm going to start gaming. So I started playing StarCraft 2. And last night I played with a coworker like 6 games in a row and I just dominated him.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite race? What were you playing?
Well, I don't have favorites, right? You know, I love them
you're
all.
You're just random. You're playing. You don't care if you play Zerg or Terran.
The only thing I know how to play is Terran, I'll be honest. I've been playing for 2 weeks. So
yeah, that's fine. Terran's a good starting point.
Anybody want to come play with me?
Protoss or bust, dude. Protoss or bust.
I'm gonna blow your pylons up, baby.
Okay.
What the hell are we talking about? In the nerdiest
conversation on NFT Twitter, we're talking StarCraft.
See that?
2.
But look, and now this is good for you, PO. See, now you see how many of us are now gamers. Join the club, dude. Now I'm part of the crew. Like me, Kix, and Manny, we're gonna be on BattleNet, dude. Give me your IDs. Let's play some multiplayer stuff. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but it's a blast. So let's do this, guys.
Okay. Well, hey, you heard it here first. StarCraft 2, play with the gang. I'm sure if you buy our NFT, they'll be talking about it in the Discord. So, you know, I want to throw it easy to cover a little bit about Solana. You know, Solana, in my opinion, rising more and more in terms of just how notable it is as quality builders like the D-God squad. I know I keep referencing them, but to me, they're the most prominent squad that's building right now on Solana, at least from a hype perspective. You know, pushing to narrow the gap between like just how notable Solana NFTs in general are compared to ETH, and with not that much exciting new shit coming out on ETH, it just becomes more, you know, kind of relevant. Easy, you got on the Utes allow list. This is the next project that's being dropped by the D-Gods ecosystem. You have to buy it with their token. Any other notable Solana news that's coming up?
Yeah, so there's a project today launching on Bifrost, which is dynamic pricing. So it's not so much a Dutch auction, because as more buyers step in, the price actually rises as well. So that's the last mint that did this was Fruits. A lot of people had some FUD on them making a lemonade stand as their utility and like a smoothie company, which is just kind of comical. But they did get up to a 9-soul floor from a 1.7 low. So, I mean, that alone is like a 4.5x. This is a 1-soul mint. So the risk reward here seems decent for me. I'm going to be watching it. I've also added more to my dust exposure. There was some metrics done on how much dust is in active wallets at the moment. And there still is about 7,000 users who do not have enough dust to mint their utes. So that's like another kind of factor here I'm looking at from a token standpoint. The utes play is interesting. I think they're just absolutely crushing the social sentiment of stuff. They have a Twitter that's just tweeting out who's getting approved. And it's leading to just a massive amount of engagement. And I think going into the mint itself, FOMO is going to be at an all-time high. You're going to have a ton of people who missed that opportunity, who are seeing all the excitement around this. And it's just a cool, like, transparent effort on who's getting this allow list, who's getting on the utes list. There's some other cool stuff on ways that they plan to integrate one-of-one artists. And the other major thing was Magic Eden actually came out last night and received funds from a rugger that was in the upwards of a few $100,000 that they're now putting into a scholarship fund for one-of-one artists and refunding from a drain link that happened on that Twitter. They did a space last night around 9:15 Eastern time. That was all about that, answering community questions. They were wicked transparent about it. And I kind of just addressed all the FUD that they've been getting on D-Gen Town and the rug that happened with it and the promotion that they had in that. And I've kind of just listened to the community for once and started to make changes. So we talk a lot about like Sol being very progressive at the moment and working towards like making updates and doing all kinds of new things and kind of driving this traction. But it's also like the marketplace just showing that they listen to the community and continue to iterate. So yesterday, all in all, was like a very positive day for Solana, despite the price action down like a solid 10% today.
So when you say like they in reference to Magic Eden, which is the most prominent platform to buy and sell Solana NFTs, when you say they did a Twitter space, like who is they? Like who, the CEO? Like who from Magic Eden?
It was all eight, including the original founders, the Magic Eden page itself, and then a variety of team members. So the three highest ranking employees were all on there. And then they had like another seven as well from the team just answering questions.
And when you say that they, you know, it sounds like they got tangled up with the wrong person and got basically screwed, right? Like, I don't think Magic Eden wanted this to happen. Did it happen just because it's kind of par for the course, because we're still in crypto, we're still in NFTs, and Solana is still newer, so there's a lot of scams? Or do you feel like Magic Eden's like at fault?
So honestly, I did think Magic Eden had a pretty heavy hand in it. I was not happy with how much marketing they did on what they kept calling a D-Gen mint that had no roadmap, no Discord. And then the mint price was 3 soul. And like originally it was supposed to be sub 1. This was right in the peak of like D-Gen mint meta. for prices that were like 0.06 SOL. So you were spending like $2. And at the time, there was mints that were going like double-digit Solana. So you were getting like 1,000 Xs. And Magic Eden almost played into that. So I wasn't too happy about it. I had a bunch of all capital letter tweets the night that the mint dropped. It was a good time, but I'm just glad that they made a change here and made an effort. It was actually the Rugger that came out was the creator of Habibis, of the ETH project, Ramo. They name-dropped him. He originally said that he was an advisor on the project and then shared messages that showed that he was actually the founder. So it was ETH, an ETH founder, coming over to Seoul, dropping a DGEN mint, claiming they were an advisor, and then turns out they were actually the founder. And they got the other founder, the guy's co-founder, to refund all the funds, but Ramo has not refunded anything. So they
sounds like a real top-notch guy.
Yeah, absolute scumbag. Like, plain and simple. There's no other way to put it. But they did continue to work on it. So, like, they got so much flack from a marketplace standpoint, Magic Eden, about how little they were doing, how there wasn't any transparency on it. And they just kind of came out last night and said that was because they were working behind the scenes. And if they aired all this out, the likelihood that they got any resolution would have been much smaller. So, honestly, I was happy to see the end result here. Obviously, I do think that they can do better overall, but at the end of the day, like, they're 11 months old, so they're still less than a year old from a marketplace standpoint, and they have done a lot for the ecosystem. Like, I certainly would not have been able to make any of the profits I have without Magic Eden being the marketplace that it is.
Sure. And so back to what you were talking about with dynamic pricing, I think that this is something that a lot of people that only participate on ETH, and keep in mind, like, when a lot of us got into the NFT space, like when me, Nick Kicks got into the NFT space in early 2021, we weren't framing it as I'm getting into the Ethereum NFT space, right? We were like, I'm getting into the NFT space, right? And those happen to be on Ethereum. But a lot of times now there's like this tribalistic thing between Solana and ETH. I think it's kind of weird, quite frankly, but I think over time it'll kind of just blend together. But a lot of the innovation is happening on Solana right now because, I don't know, there's just not that much happening on Ethereum. And one of these things that has been discussed quite a bit, like maybe a month ago, just like you guys were having the royalty conversation over on Solana, there was also the conversation on this dynamic pricing, which is kind of like not the opposite of a Dutch auction, but a variation on it that has to do with demand. And so if a Dutch auction is something that goes from a high, like an auction that goes from a high price to a lower price that allows for price discovery, one really notable one, that the last one that I can think of that was released was the World of Women one, where once the World of Women Galaxy, once that Dutch auction hit one Ethereum, it just popped. Like, you know, the whole thing minted out at one Ethereum. So it's like, okay, the fair value at that moment was clearly one Ethereum. What's the story with this dynamic pricing?
Yeah, it is a Dutch auction. The price, if nobody's buying, does go down. So it drops, it declines. If nobody's stepping in to put buy pressure on it, if multiple buyers start coming in and slamming the buy button, the price starts increasing. So as new buyers are adding, that price actually moves higher. So it's like a supply and demand zone even before the mint is out, which people say it has like a fair value. Bifrost is the launchpad that does it. The technology that's underlying is open source through a company called Cardinal Labs. And so anybody can do it. Anybody can actually run that code and release a mint with dynamic pricing. Bifrost is just kind of tailoring it and white glove supporting it for projects. And it actually provides a visual that you can see that shows the price action going up and down where buyers are stepping in. So it gives like a trading opportunity on the mint itself. The last one that happened, the mint was 2.5 SOL. You can set a minimum price. So their minimum price was 1.6. As soon as it hit that and people realized it wasn't going lower, everybody just started hammering the buy on it. And it pumped all the way up to 3.4, I believe, was the final one that sold. So they actually got more than their initial mint price. And they ended up raising an additional $80,000 on their original target with this pricing model. The other thing is this launch pad that's launching this kind of dynamic pricing model is very unique in itself, that they are very slow on what projects they select to actually launch. They've only launched two through this method so far. The last one was over a month ago at this point. So comparing it to other launch pads, this one in the Solana ecosystem has this sentiment that it's more of like the top tier or pristine launch pad compared to the others that tend to just fire off projects.
Okay, so in other words, they got more money because of the market demand, because of this dynamic pricing thing. They ended up going above their initial target, and you actually benefited if you were a buyer
of, you know, to buy at any time during the initial part of the Dutch auction. It went from 2.5 to 1.5, call it. And then when it hit 1.5, the demand got so robust, it blazed past 2.5 again, and then over 3. So the people that bought early or early-ish did way better than anybody that came in and kind of FOMO'd in.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to put it. It was something new in the space. People were excited for it. I think today is going to be a good kind of back and forth price action on it for whatever this mint is. I mean, it's a one sol mint. So for me, that's a good price for a risk reward myself, especially in current market conditions. And I'm curious to see how low that actually moves. But yeah, it seems that even Bifrost promotes this as a way for projects to not just earn their estimated goals, but they've done a whole bunch of big brain math stuff behind the scenes and have determined that you can actually earn more, which we saw from Fruits. So today will be the interesting kind of test of if that's true for every project.
Well, all you folks out there that only buy NFTs on Ethereum, don't be surprised if in 2 months or 3 months, all of a sudden we're talking about dynamic pricing on NFTs on Ethereum. And you heard it here first, okay? So I don't want to hear that you heard it on some other show. You heard it here first. Today, August 19th, we talked about dynamic pricing. Manny, you have your hand raised, and then we're going to wrap.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that the Bifrost team, they were all former DGOTS team members too, so they're coming from like a really good like hiring class and like alumni of like pretty pristine products.
Wow, more evidence that DGOTS team is strong. Manny, do you have exposure to DGOTS?
I got ute listed.
He got on the ute list.
Oh shit.
Dude, so I was so pumped. Like I Naruto ran like up and down my neighborhood yelling, "Let's fucking go." And then I like
grown man.
I put on my ski mask and my Frank outfit. I lost it. I like.
Can you give us a Naruto voice?
I do. No, I can't. I'm at work right now, so I can't.
Grown man running down the street doing a cartoon character voice, wearing a ski mask because he's going to get to buy a digital JPEG. So real quick, it's a 30 sol mint price that you're going to have to pay for that.
It's a 0.33 ETH price. It's about 15 sol. I think it's actually a little bit lower. It's closer to like 13 or 14 right now with dust taking a hit.
0.33. How much is Ethereum right now? $1,700?
Yeah.
So that's $561. That's not even a lot. And what do you think it's going to hit secondary?
Not even a lot.
What do you think it's going to hit?
We're in a global recession. And dude's like, yeah, $500 for a fucking JPEG. Okay.
Half a stack? I throw that around on the daily.
You should
I wasn't trying to be a dick. Okay, and how much on the secondary do you think that those are immediately going to run to?
They open at 60. Oh,
yeah,
sorry,
there's some
ahead,
people
easy.
Doing like big brain math saying the current value on it's like 44 to 50. I think they see 60. I'm an idiot and I was enjoying a few too many Coronas last night and tweeted that I'm never selling my ute. So it's on wax now and I can't go back on it.
60 would be about a 4X. Wow. Well, I hope that one. I shouldn't say I hope I get on that allow list. I didn't even apply. There's just no universe.
Yeah,
I get
dude.
On
I mean, I love the project, but I'm not fucking filling out an application, dude. Like,
I'm not like 100 characters.
Please list your qualifications. I got rugged by Pixelmon, and I sold 10 Bored Apes for 2 weeks. Name your top 5 favorite NFT influencers. Okay. I mean, write that in.
Well, we won't be applying, I guess, but we probably
can
should.
You still apply?
I applied
it's
yesterday.
Still open.
I applied yesterday.
So
it's easy, guys.
And waves.
Okay,
you
well
gotta
then.
Buy. Yeah, you gotta buy dust though, Nick. You have to.
That's
have
incorrect.
Dust.
That's incorrect. Oh. It says on there that you have priority in the application process if you have enough dust. So it looks like that first wave yesterday, all of those approvals, the people had the dust in their wallet from what I've looked at. Maybe a handful didn't, but the majority of them had enough dust. You do not need the dust in that moment to apply.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there like a DEX or something that you can buy the dust
there is.
From?
So you can use radium.io. You can also swap it directly in Phantom. Right in the wallet has a swap for dust that you can exchange for. It's not the best rate. You do get hit with like a 0.2% fee. There's a few other ways that you can do it, but radium is basically the same UI and overlay as like a Uniswap.
But Nick, don't bother with that. I may have filled out an application in your name already, but if it hits, we can split.
Wow. Wow. Really
okay,
appreciate
so give him 30% and then forget about him.
Yeah, I started his application intro by I'm the second best trader on the Nifty Alpha show. And then, yeah, just listed off all of his accolades, all of his big wins, and the fact that he never sells an airdrop.
There you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, where we discuss all things NFT market. Shout out to our sponsor, FTX. If you sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app and spend $200 or more on a cryptocurrency of your choice, not only will you be paying the cheapest fees in the game to acquire that cryptocurrency, you'll also get a $20 airdrop of that cryptocurrency popped right into the account because you used our code. So definitely check it out. Check out our NFT. It's pinned to the top. We got some things coming across chains. Wait, what? And so tune in next week, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. We're not going anywhere, baby. We'll see you next time.